Board of Supervisors for last year, and so it's carried forward into this year's budget. It's been updated with the most recent numbers along the way, but basically these are the projects looking forward that were approved. The second half, the second page, are new potential projects. As you can see, we reached out to other city staff and tried to come up with some projects that are keeping with the goals and objectives of the Redevelopment Authority to look at some possible projects for you to consider for funding next year. So I think the first thing I'd like to do is just tackle, I think the easier part is maybe to tackle the first part, that first page that was approved last year. Again, I won't go through each of these. I think it's pretty straightforward in terms of the projects that have been approved in the past and are continuing to be funded. But so just to highlight a couple of projects on the first page. First of all, on downtown sidewalk improvements, you'll note on your spreadsheet that it's in there at $200,000 a year. I'll discuss that. That's discussed kind of in the recommendations later. But last year that was actually approved at $200,000 for the 2020 budget is how it was in there, and then $100,000 each year since then. I'll just talk about it now. We can consider that funding when we get to kind of adjusting some of the numbers, but basically the recommendation with Public Works is, as we've had the downtown improvements completed and Curry Street improvements completed, we're getting a lot of comments becoming really apparent how bad some of the other streets are in comparison in the nearby side streets. So we believe that, you know, a program putting a little bit more money to that can actually complete blocks to make the sidewalk improvements to make it match, kind of like we did between the Curry Street project and the Carson Street project. But there's, if you see a lot of the side streets, there's a lot of work that can be done on the side streets. So anyway, that's the recommendation for the reason for that. The other one on that first page I want to highlight, talk about a little bit, just going down the list, is the Blue Line replacement. I have David Peterson here from the Culture and Tourism Authority. He's here to answer any questions you may have on that. Through different culture and tourism directors, we've tried to come up with a program working with Public Works, with the main thing being that the city wants to get out of the business of removing and repainting Blue Line every year. So the plan as of today is to remove the line, use the funds to remove the line, which uses most of those funds. It's actually the bulk of the cost of the work. The lines, putting them back, don't cost nearly as much. But we would need this. And then basically just turn the project back over to the Convention and Tourism Authority, who with David's plans on working on grant funding, we still want to provide the identifications, whether it be signage, still work with Public Works to identify what can be done in the right-of-way, put on the website, and to come up with a plan in the future. So, and if there's any matching funds needed in the future, then it'll come back to RAC, and if there's any funds that are requested as part of that. But his plan is to go get grant funds. You want to stop in for if you have questions on any of these like that?
Right. I have a question for you. In the minutes that were sent out from February 5th, 2018, it showed that the Blue Line was for this year, fiscal year 2018, at $26,000, nothing for fiscal year 2019, and nothing all the way through. So it was going to be spent this year. But yet, in the one that you just sent out, you're carrying this over to 2020. Was that approved by the Board of Supervisors, or what's going on here?
No, so it's there because I don't have a 19 column, so I did carry it forward, and it's accounted for this discussion. And I think that's the only one that falls in that category that's rolled. The one above it, Downtown Gateway Feature funding, was approved not for expenditure but in the budget last year. We're recommending you roll that forward to 2020. But what I'm saying today is we're going to spend that and get it off the books this fiscal year before July 1st. I appreciate actually bringing that up. I didn't mention that, but the goal is to do it this year in this current fiscal year that we're in right now, not next fiscal year. Okay. The next one on the list there I wanted to point out is the Bob Bolduc Theater project. The $137,000 plus that's in there and identified to roll forward to next year is actually funds, again, that are in this year's budget. The project mayor, actually I think part of that project will be able to occur this year. But that's been put in there at the direction of the Board of Supervisors. It's some roll forward funds from last year, other cost savings that are in addition to what's been already authorized by the Citizens Committee and Redevelopment Authority for the seats and other improvements in there as it's done now. So this is going to pay for things like microphones, I think, is on the list of what that's going to be used for, as well as maybe looking at figuring out some other ADA improvements that need to be done to that. So that's what that funding is. Any questions on that? And again, the Children's Museum outdoor remodel is $50,000. They have representatives here if you have any questions as well. That's been a project, as noted in there, approved by Historic Resource Commission and by the Planning Commission. They have good budget numbers, so assuming that stays in the budget going forward to the Board of Supervisors and approved in there, they'll be back before you in June or so to show you the project and the latest numbers and to request authorization of the expenditure of those funds. So that's how the timing of that works. Again, this is planning we're doing today. This isn't authorizing anybody to spend money. So this is the planning part. Unless you want to see the presentation this evening, I assume that's been approved in the past and will stay in there. They'll come back and give the presentation in June or so. And then the last one on the old one is the Fuji Fairgrounds Arena Sound System. I see Eric and others are here from the Parks Department if you have any questions on that. And I think how I wanted to go through this, so I'm kind of done now talking about the past ones that are approved, and maybe if you have any questions on those, I'll stop there. Otherwise, if you're good with that, I can move on to the new potential projects.
I have a couple, Lee. One was, I was under the impression this goes back probably 4 years now, when we were talking about the special event funding, that we were trying to dwindle that down to nothing. And so, you know, I see it here in 20, we're at 12,500, then 7,500, then 5,000 just keeps going on from there. So I remember when we all talked about that, about making it go away completely after, I think it was 5 years. But I don't remember what year we decided to initiate that process, but I think we're pretty much there. So I just wanted to refresh everyone's memory on that, because I see it continuing on here. So I was wondering what the rationale for that was.
That's a perfectly fine recommendation. I think I wasn't under the impression necessarily, because of the discussions being that having the funding is for new events, and we don't want to continue funding the same event over and over, but to have some available in case a new event comes in. So I think that's up to you how you want to do that. I think there's been some discussion definitely about it fading, going away completely. So if that, we just, on my spreadsheet, when we took out, it was going down 5,000 every year, and now that we've taken out the fireworks, it's going to expire somewhere in this time frame. So if you want it to go to zero, that could be a recommendation.
I think that was Supervisor Bagwell's, you know, thought that it was going to go away, that we were going to be out of that business altogether. So, and then the other thing that I think is important, we've discussed this before, and I think it's worth maybe looking at again, is the carryover. If someone is applying for a fiscal year for a project, they should at least begin that project within that fiscal year instead of carrying over like the Blue Line or like what we've been doing with the Children's Museum or other things. It really should either be taken out if they cannot do it and reapply on the money used for something else instead of carrying over, because that $26,000 or the $50,000 could certainly have been for the theater or something else at that particular time.
Well, the agreed with the $26,000. Actually, the $50,000 was pushed to this year because it wasn't available in last year's budget.
Okay, but I mean, the point carry over, in my estimation, and that
that's noted for these projects that they need to be done in this year, and we need to come back to authorize the expenditure soon enough for it to happen. And
exactly.
Got it. Back to the discussion about special event funding, because another thing about this spreadsheet, as I make this live, that'll change the undesignated available funds in there. So do you think if you have consensus that should fade out, and let me know what year that is, that after next year or the following year?
It's been 5 years, I think. I think we're going into the fifth year. Does any committee member have any comments regarding that? Well, I know you weren't here during that time, but you get the gist of what we're talking about here with it. You know, trying to get out of the deal of funding, you know, all of these different events in perpetuity, which was happening, and then just trying to give them a little leg up for the first year that they're getting going, and then they need to be kind of self-sufficient on that afterwards. So.
Yes, that's my memory from before I was on the board when I was covering it as a reporter. That discussion went on over and over, and it hasn't happened.
Well, I think that since that was our intention, I think we need to make that happen. So I wouldn't be opposed to having something in it for this year, and then it's just done. Because I can't remember exactly what year, and you're right, it was Lori that brought that up, I remember.
Well, that's when I came on.
This has got to be about the fifth year. So any recommendations?
I think you made one.
Okay, so why don't we take that to say $10,000 and then it's gone in 2021? Anyone opposed to that?
No, but I have a question.
For the new mics, when there's a little, when this is green in front of you, it's on.
This isn't turning color. Oh, wait, this one's on. Use this one.
Okay, so my question is, how many applications do we fund for special event funding each year? I mean, how many special events have we been funding?
It's been few in the last 2 or 3 years, actually. We've whittled it down now to now, for the last 3 years, the applications that we've received, it's only Taste of Downtown that's not been put into the budget for funding. For next year, we've put in the 4th of July fireworks into the budget per the recommendation of this body and the action of the Board of Supervisors.
Yeah, so it's not that events are not being funded. It's just that they're not going to be coming in front of us. They're getting automatic funding. So what about trying to do the Taste of Downtown to be part of it?
So the special event applications, I think the way it went last year is the special event applications are due in April. You'll review them in May. Perhaps May. Yeah. May's probably the time we would want to bring back the museum, sorry. I said June. Anyway, they get reviewed in May, and at that time a recommendation was made to approve them, or to approve 4th of July and the recommendation to include that funding in the budget the following year. So that would be, I would suggest we want to see if they submit an application, what that application is for, and consider it as part of that, and consider that recommendation then. Leaving the funding in there, the $10,000, would have the funding available to do that for next year.
Lee, I have a question. So as we look at the special funding, and we talked about new events, so what do we have here if there will be any new events that may come up so we can have a line item to get those monies from? If we would just, based on what the chair said, if we just kind of do it 1 year and make the rest go away, what about for those organizations and other groups that may come before this committee and be able to want to use or some of these funds if we're going to earmark these as new events? Can that be an option?
If I could just sort of get in here, we've put aside $25,000 that in the past we had to pay, each event had to pay for all the things that the city did, you know, on behalf of, and that is now part of that. So there's a lot already in this budget to take care of all of that, like with Epic Rides and stuff. They don't have to pay for the permits and other things like that anymore. None of them have to pay for that anymore.
So where, so Madam Co-Chair, where is it stated here as I'm looking at the objective and project and program now?
$25,000, it's special event support street closures, $25,000 every year. So the second line.
So we've kind of dumped the two special event support slash street closures?
Yeah, and that was always a very expensive, how should I say, it was very expensive for the nonprofits at that particular time to pay for those, and that's why we did this. We put the $25,000 in here so we would not have to pay the sheriff's office and public works, et cetera.
Yeah. I mean, I understand that, but, you know, as opposed to just deplete the whole 5 years. Of course, I wasn't on the board, as you mentioned, 5 years ago, but, you know, there may be other new events and other venues that probably come before this board. If we don't, if you know, if we can maybe diminish some of the funds, but not just to say, okay, let's just cut it out. Just have a 2020 budget, whether it be the 10,000 or 12,500. And we will eradicate 21 all the way through 24. I'm just saying, I think it would make sense if we were to have some funds available just in case groups or other organizations, because we know they're coming, so we can have some dollars earmarked for those new events.
I think there's two answers to that. One was, it was at the time the goal of the committee to get out of the funding of special events altogether. The second was, if we reduced it to a small enough amount, then you've got multiple people coming forward with potential new events and not enough to go around too. So it was just, at the time the decision was made, we're going to get out of the business of giving money to get certain special events going.
Yeah, I understand that, Mr. Chair, but still, you know, if the money is out, then we don't have it to give it to every organization, every group. We support in the Taste of Downtown and other events. Why can't we have some appropriation of dollars, even if it's a small amount? And once the funds are gone, they are gone. And we can't fund every group or every organization that comes to us. But I see this as an opportunity for to have new events. So when those groups come before us, we can say, okay, everything else is pretty much taken, but we can look at this line item to make a determination as to whether or not we could fund that group based on new events. That's all I'm saying. And of course, I know the committee has the last vote and decision to go yay or nay, but I just think, you know, we just kind of need to look at this before we just say, okay, let's just completely wash it out.
Really quick, if we do the special event support, is that also an avenue for somebody to come in and do special event funding? Or are there two different application processes? Or how does that work? If somebody wants to come in for line item number two, which we would normally put under number four, could we divert funds that direction?
No, the public works director's here, so I can't divert funds from that.
And actually, to answer that, as somebody who puts together a program every year, it really, this $25,000 really helps a lot because it funds, and Darren, you may, you know, want to weigh in on here, but it funds all the organizations, which means Taste of Downtown, Silver and Snowflakes, 4th of July, whatever it is, because the Public Works was going to be charging for the map to do, you know, for street closures and the whole bit. And that was like quite a bit of money where this is all encompassing. And we thank you for that, Darren.
It's for big events and little events. For all sizes, it might be, it's for the big events that are really take up a lot of the downtown or just one street closure. That's a courtesy thing that we provide now as part of the special events, and it's funded for those special events through this. To go back to the question of where could funds come from, and perhaps it's undesignated in the end. If there's some unusual circumstance that or new event comes up, I mean, an example was Epic Rides coming in. That's and what's funded is beyond what we typically fund special event, but it's such a big event. So I mean, I think there's still an opportunity along the way for new events to come in. And that's assuming you don't have every, on the bottom line there, assuming you don't have every dollar spoken for in any given, in any fiscal year. But there'd be a chance if some new event comes into town to look at a possibility of funding. But Mr. Smith's point's taken. That's kind of, I think that's just kind of the discussion and decision, and we could pass the recommendations along. But it's either leaving some in there for that specific activity, or saying, no, we're done with that unless there's some special circumstance, and then we'll revisit it. I think those are your options.
Again, playing institutional memory role here. I go back 6 years. I covered the board and this committee and other things for 3.5 years, and then I ran for a year, and then I've been on the board for a board of supervisors for 2 years. And in those 6 years, this thing was beaten to death. The problem, I think, to just speak frankly and politically for the moment, is that the people who were on this committee back when I was sitting out there got tired of picking winners and losers. And there were a host of people who came as small new events, large new events, etc. And they were told that whole 6 years, or the whole four or five that preceded this, that we've been giving you seed money and we've given it to you over and over and over again. You need to go out and find a way to make yourself work or quit what you're doing. And we finally have gotten to the point where the two or three events you've talked, like the Snowflake and the Taste of Downtown, the fireworks at Mills Park on July 4th, are in there, and they're in there for sure. And people aren't coming and asking anymore because they've now been trained over time. I don't mind reopening it. I don't really care which way it goes, but I'm just trying to give a history of why we got where we are today. Is that right, Lee?
Right? That's a good description.
So that's my description of how we got here, Michael, and I think your points are well taken, but the problem is this committee's been trying to head this direction for a long time, so you're swimming upstream.
And the other thing, too, there's a lot of the money has gone elsewhere, as I said, in support and the whole bit, and we gave monies annually. We're giving monies to the Arts and Culture Commission, which is $25,000 at this particular point. So there's a lot of money hidden in here. And also the Board of Supervisors has the opportunity, like they did with Epic Ride, not even to come before this body or this advisory committee and just go ahead and designate funds. We have Mr. Peterson here, too, who should probably have a line item, especially for the bigger outdoor stuff, that would, and you could probably get it matched through the MCOT, Nevada Commission on Tourism. So there are other ways other than through here to do this. So, and there's a lot hidden in here.
And I think finally, as you stated, if there's a special circumstance and there's some undesignated funds, we can always take a look at that on a case-by-case basis.
Okay, can I move on to discussing some of the new
Please.
Projects? So on the second page there, you know, again, I think I took a little more proactive approach this year of reaching out to other city departments, understanding that kind of through the year they've been before the Redevelopment Authority to discuss funding of certain projects, and kind of from the other side too, heard from the redevelopment, from the Citizens Committee and from the Redevelopment Authority, the kinds of projects that we're interested in using funds for. As you can see, as we're getting into this year in the following years, we're going to have a lot more in redevelopment funds available than we've had in the past. And looking at the projections, it's largely because some of the car dealer incentives are coming off the books, and we're not paying. There were some reimbursements for construction that are not coming out of redevelopment anymore. So there's a lot more available that's coming up this year and following years, as you could see. So we looked at some of the projects and come from recommendations from the Public Works Department and Parks Department for projects that are in the redevelopment district, either Area 1 or 2. And so I just want to briefly go down the list, and I think maybe as I'll give a brief description of these, if you have any questions on them as I go down, we can bring up the appropriate person to answer your questions. So the first one on the list there is the 3rd Street. Oh, and also I would say we've penciled in some proposed budget numbers and funding numbers for these. Of course, these are subject to your recommendation, but those are the numbers that are in there now. First one being the 3rd Street parking lot rehabilitation. That's the parking lot basically kind of behind the Fox and at the end there. If you want to know that area, it's where the farmer's market is for the summer. It's also one of the few public parking lot, off-street parking lots that the city owns in the downtown area. So it's important for a number of things, and it's in disrepair and really needs to be rebuilt. So the number on that is $190,000. Any questions on that project?
Yeah, one. You're talking about across Curry from the Fox, not the Fox.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Question on that, too. It was brought up, are you going to be putting lighting in at the same time that you redevelop this?
That doesn't include lights in the parking lot.
So if you had to, so if the resurfacing was done and you had to come back in to put lights in, what, then would you have to dig it up again or what? This was brought up by Linda Maroney. I'm her mouthpiece.
Very good. I'll speak to you, to Linda, then. Okay, very good. Darren Schultz, Public Works Director. The intent at this point was just to look at the resurfacing, to look at the immediate, some of the sidewalks right around the parking lot, adjacent to the parking lot. It did not contemplate lighting at night, but that's a good point. And one thing we could consider is maybe putting in the conduit now and not running the electrical and or putting the poles and fixtures in. That way, in the future, we wouldn't have to trench through brand new asphalt. So point taken.
Darren, any idea how much lighting would cost, or I don't imagine you've started thinking that until this was brought up?
No. It wouldn't be too bad. It's all in the fixtures. Those fixtures are not cheap, as we found out on Curry, and you wanna put something nice. So for instance, the new light fixtures that we put in downtown, both Curry and Carson Street. Those run about $8,000 a piece for the pole, the fixture, and then obviously running the conduit and the electrical to them. So, just depending on how many we would put out there.
Next on the list is the South Carson Street. So this is a traffic circulation improvement study, and Lucia Maloney is here from the Transportation Division to answer any questions you have on this. One of the goals of the Area 2 South Carson Street Redevelopment District is to improve traffic circulation. We know there's a big project going on at South Carson Street. There's been traffic studies done with that, but what we're also seeing now is a lot of new development coming in. On both sides of the highway, but in particular down south and to the east side on Appian Way, behind where the Chevron is there. We've got plans in for projects. We've had rezonings. We have plans in for apartment buildings in there and potentially another hotel coming in at some point down there. So actually, Lucia's here. If you have, that's the extent of my explanation of it. And if you have any questions on that of Lucia, did you would like her to explain that further?
I think maybe to just get a brief overview of what exactly we're studying and what the idea is would be good.
Hi, good evening. Lucia Maloney, Transportation Manager. So as you know, and as Lee mentioned, we're doing a $20 million South Carson Street, complete streets improvements, right, starting all the way north at 5th Street, going all the way just north of the interchange at 395 US 50. You know, we're looking at improved business access, removing some of those center medians that prohibit the left turns into the businesses. We're improving landscaping, lighting. We're looking at turn pockets and deceleration lanes to ensure folks can get into the business without holding up traffic and all those things on South Carson. But what the project doesn't include is looking at some of these cross street intersections, specifically down south at Snyder, Overland, Appian Way, and then further up north as well, up to Rhodes and Sonoma, sort of where the Starbucks is up there, and whether in the future to continue improving business access and circulation, we might need additional traffic control, such as signals or pedestrian improvements to improve crossings depending on future business needs. And so those types of crossings are something that we would look at, as well as looking at overall circulation, so expanding not just South Carson, but looking at Curry Street, also known as Cochise further south, and so Silver Sage on the east side. So both of those parallel facilities outside of South Carson, looking at whether those are adequate to meet the needs of those things that are within the scope of the redevelopment authority. So happy to answer any additional specific questions. You know, we did hire an independent engineer to look at the 30% design for the South Carson Street project and to look at the immediate circulation and access needs as they relate to that project. And that cost the city $34,000. So to look at the full redevelopment area and to provide high-level cost estimates that would allow us to plan for future infrastructure improvements, the rough estimate for what we expect that study would cost would be what we put here in this proposal. Of course, that's subject to your recommendation and potentially could be scalable.
Could you get a little more specific about how far out you're looking before you would not do something in this project we're doing now? What part of that study, this study, is that?
You
indicated, it seemed to me, that you were looking at circulation for now and for the future. And so I assume that the future would not be done until the future got here.
Sure.
How far out are we talking, and how much of it is one and how much is the other?
Sure, I should clarify. I appreciate the question. So the study that we looked at now was really looking at, you know, immediate access needs off of South Carson. So, for example, is there a deceleration lane if you're headed northbound on South Carson and you want to turn into the Rayleighs? Do we need an extra lane there so people can slow down and not block traffic? So those types of access needs. But what we didn't look at, or something that would be out of scope from South Carson, is if you're coming out on Clearview at the gas station, you're coming down and you're eastbound on the hill at the gas station, are there enough lanes there, or would we in the future need to widen it to make sure that there's adequate space so people can get back on South Carson or get out of the gas station? So those kind of cross-street circulations that we aren't specifically looking at for South Carson. Does that help answer your question?
Yeah, it does. Can you tell me why 34 for now and 80 for later? I don't quite understand. That's what I'm trying to get at.
I appreciate it. So the 34, you know, some of the decisions we're making for South Carson Street, we're reducing the vehicle capacity. We're cutting down a lane closer to downtown. We're reducing the speed limit. And staff felt that it was really important that we had an independent engineer to look at some of those key design recommendations that were in the 30%. So they were looking specifically at some of those high-level concepts and whether we were maintaining adequate access for the impacted businesses.
So in other words, it's less, and that's why it's cheaper.
Right, and so it didn't look specifically at, you know, in the future, if that shopping center where the Starbucks is, or if the Armory site developed, for example, you know, would we potentially want a signal there at that Armory site? So those types of things that would maybe fall into the purview of this specific body.
Okay, thank you. The next one is self-explanatory, Curry Street gas lamp replacement. So the new project, you'll notice we did have gas lamps down there that literally were on gas, and they've been replaced with LED lights, but with the same type of design. They actually provide very nice light, especially compared to the gas lamps. And there's still a number of gas lamps down Curry Street. So Public Works noted to me kind of the cost of replacing the gas lamps that they have is about $425,000. But knowing that we don't have $425,000 necessarily in this year's budget, a reasonable plan would be to spread that out across the next 5 years to coincide with sidewalk improvements on those blocks when they would be phased in and put in along with that. So that's what that line is. Next one is undergrounding downtown power lines. Again, self-explanatory, taking the power lines that go overhead and undergrounding them. What was done with the Curry Street project is there was a block or two or three of overhead power lines that were undergrounded. It's kind of, you don't notice what's not there, but it is, they used to be there, and it's kind of nice to get those out of the way and underground. So there's a lot more through the downtown, and so again, with the street improvements and other things could tie all together, it'd be good to have some funds to do that underground. That's a pretty big cost, putting power underground. Without additional funds to really do that, the undergrounding of power is usually not done. Sierra Pacific Power, or no, well, that's the old name, Nevada Energy does not pay for that. So we would need to come up with funds to do that if that's how we wanted to do it when we do the other improvements. Let me talk a little bit about the downtown shared trash enclosure and what that is, and that's kind of a ballpark figure for that. So we've, in the last few months, as downtown's becoming more successful, there's more restaurants, more businesses, more people, more parking, more people coming downtown to park, and more development that has gone on to properties where there used to be trash enclosures. There's a lack of places for trash enclosures. I mean, we have an old downtown where the buildings are right up to the property lines, so there's not a lot of opportunities. We've been working, Community Development Department, Public Works has been working with some of the property managers and business owners to look at possible solutions. That's in the works. We're still looking at possible opportunities on private property in addition to public property, where there might be a place where some of the businesses could have a shared trash enclosure and manage it. But in order to take care of that problem, which part of it can be an eyesore, having if trash cans have to be out in the public view, to have some funds available this year, if we can come up with a solution this year to do that. So that's the purpose of that there. Any questions on that?
Yes. As you know, Lee, in the past, I've been sort of schooled about this, and I'm still not happy, and I'm going to continue letting people know I'm not happy. I won't get into who's doing what, but I think $25,000 for this is like throwing a feather up in the air and watching it blow away. We need to do this downtown daily, weekly. We need to keep the litter out of the downtown. And we have some business operators who aren't helping a lot. Somehow this has to be done. It doesn't make a whit of sense to spend $15 million on your downtown, $20 million on South Carson, and let the town go with what's going on now. I was downtown during the snow, and I talked to two business people who said nobody came to pick up to do the snow. This has to change, and I'm going to continue when we go to budget, but $25,000 is like, why bother? Let's do it right or not do it, as Ronnie used to say about the whole project in the first place.
So I've noted on here, and I didn't mention before, but there's going to be space at the bottom to add any of the projects that you might want to add to consider for funding. Let me just add the rows there. Okay, so downtown removal cleaning. So I'll note that, but that's the type, that's a different thing. That's a different project than the trash enclosure. So I put a line item on the bottom there that you can consider for funding it if this board decides to make a recommendation to use redevelopment funding for that. And just a little bit on that. So while you're on that, there's a set amount of money that's, comes out of the property tax from the businesses, from the properties that are within that neighborhood improvement district downtown. From the property owners, yeah. That goes towards the maintenance of sidewalks. It's a set amount. They get a contract, so they're basically getting probably as much as they get now is what that much pays for. The city does put a little bit into that, based on what the city put into it in the past. So, I think if there's not a way to double what we're charging the property owners to do it, I think if there's going to be a solution that where we want to have a higher level of maintenance or expanded maintenance, it's going to be through finding further funding from other sources.
Well, good. This is a place. I'd like to hear from Angela, who's a business owner down there, and I know when she came before us to get on this committee, she had some pertinent thoughts.
Thank you, Supervisor Barrett. Mr. Plummel, I guess I would just want to know if there's a current plan for allocating the $25,000. For example, where is it one enclosure? Who uses the enclosure? Those kinds of details. Are those worked out yet?
Darren, no. In terms of the funding, I'm not sure how much $25,000. He could talk about how much it builds. It's very much a placeholder at this point because the discussions are very preliminary, just trying to get the right people together to talk about it. We don't have a location identified yet. Participants, it would certainly be once something is established and built, it would need to be managed by the businesses that use it and share it.
Thank you. As Supervisor Barrett indicated, the issue of trash downtown is really huge. I would like to be part of whatever committee you have talking about it, and I can share with you the details of what I've experienced downtown. But the supervisor might be right as far as maybe an increased budget allocation to solve the problem.
We'll certainly keep you involved as we get into it. We've just talked to a couple property managers at this point.
Okay, thank you.
At this time on the list, we're going to move into some of the parks and recreation projects. So I asked them to come up. They'd probably just be up here for you as you have questions going through this. Kind of when we got to this point, we weren't sure. You know, I didn't really start, but at the bottom of this spreadsheet, you can see at the very bottom line there, I just have enough to fit the whole thing on there. We have an undesignated amount of a little over $90,000. If things were funded as recommended right here with the numbers in there, there's still $93,000 available. That could be used towards other projects. You could shift money around. It could go into roll forward and not be used in 2020 at all. You put into next year for bigger projects. So that's what we're dealing with. But in kind of making recommendations, I asked Jennifer Budge, the Parks and Rec Director, for the priority, the aquatic facility pool deck, kind of rose to the top of that priorities. I'm sure there's some other that are some urgent needs in there. So, but that's the first one on the list. And do you have any questions on that? We have people from Parks and Rec here. Or maybe, I think in looking at the Parks and Rec items in general, they probably require a little bit less explanation in general. They are what they are. Fixing the Mills Park Skate Park. I think I'll fix the Mills Park Skate Park and make it bigger and better. So with that, do you have any questions on the aquatic facility or any other of the parks and rec facilities?
I have one on the aquatic deck resurfacing. You've got $65,000 kind of as a budget item, and about only $52,000 allocated to it. So the difference in that is what?
Well, I think the 52 was an earlier number. I've been working. Also, note that I've been working with finance right up until the last day that this packet went out to get the final undesignated number and what was available. So, actually, at one point, 52 was all that we thought was the last. That's where we got to the end and didn't have any more available. So, really, that's the only reason. And in talking to Jennifer, the director, if she could get that much, they could probably come up with a difference for that particular project.
If I could just weigh in here, I looked at the Redevelopment Authority policies and procedures today, looking at all of this because I didn't understand the Roscoe Park, et cetera. And the three top items for consideration, which would be, in my world, would be the test for expenditures, would be, number one, as you have it here, encourage the creation of new business or other appropriate development. Number two, create jobs or other business opportunities for nearby residents. And number three, increase local revenues from desirable sources. So these are all business-type items that I think we were charged with initially, and it is in this document.
So, just tagging on to that a little bit. So there, different facilities are in different redevelopment areas and areas have different redevelopment plans. So you have the downtown, was that from the downtown one or the area two?
No, this is just your general policies and procedures.
So the downtown redevelopment area includes Mills Park. The downtown redevelopment plan generally encourages more activities that brings visitors to the area. So that includes the theater. So I think when you're considering this, and because you mentioned Ross Park, you know, Mills Park has events. Having the aquatic center brings people to town for events. The theater brings people to town for events. So that's why we fund Mills Park. I will say the South Carson Street redevelopment area plan doesn't talk about events in the same way it does the downtown plan. So in terms of redevelopment funding for events, the Mills Park would seem to be a higher priority and more in line with the goals and policies than...
No, I agree with that because that goes with the first three, which would create activity, and you know, Mills Park is used a lot. It was just on some of these others I didn't quite understand, and that's why I looked this up. I know there's only 90,000 left, and it's not going to go very far, but I think this is a really good test for it. It's more economic development and business opportunities and increased local revenues. So,
and to that, going down the list, obviously, not for this year's budget, for next year. You can see a big one on there is Fuji Park grandstands. I think that goes to the bigger types of events. But that's a big project. That's a lot of money and beyond, you know, unless we take money out of some other project, something that maybe should be put out until the following year. Probably project-wise, too, and the planning to take that's probably such a big project, it's more reasonably out in the following fiscal year than in the upcoming fiscal year.
Well, I think we every once in a while have to do something right instead of piecemeal. So I'd rather give a lot of money to Fuji Park or Mills Park or whatever and get it done and get it over with instead of having 5,000 here or 10,000 there. Fuji Park could be far more used and way in here than it is today because the sound system is so bad and there's no overhead and shade and the whole bit. I mean, that is a facility that has been neglected for a long time and it's been piecemeal. We as RAC have done piecemeal over there. I'd like to see us just put money into one good project and then maybe next year consider another one.
Eric, from your guys' standpoint, is there a project that really needs to get done this year or something's going to fall apart? Yeah.
Eric Klug, Recreation Program Manager. That project would be the audio. The sound system has gotten to a point where we can't even get it repaired, so we've just been taking stuff from the theater to get through the seasons.
Yeah, and I think that's in the fund for the Bob Boulder Theater. That could be done within the funds. Oh, for Fuji, right.
So, yeah,
and that could be done with with what's allocated for that, right?
Yeah, the most recent quote I had was for $88,000 in equipment plus about $11,000 for labor.
Well, that's, we already have that on our page one, so I think piggybacking on what Ronnie said is we're already spending $100,000 to get your number one priority done, so then maybe finish Fuji Park before we start moving on to other things, since we're just dropping six figures in it that's already allocated.
So the direction that I was given from Jennifer Budge, and for the record, I'm Dan Arp, Recreation Superintendent. So obviously there's lots of needs at Fuji Park as well, the first and foremost of those being the sound system. But before we just start putting more into Fuji, our number one priority outside of the sound system for Fuji is going to be the pool deck. Because that is a safety concern, and we do have a lot of events at the aquatic facility. Out of this list, the next dozen things that we have on here that are designated for Parks and Recreation, our number one priority for this year is to try and start working on getting that pool deck replaced, because this is basically the whole pool deck is flaking away. So not only is it aesthetics and it looks awful, but it also creates a slipping hazard, because as that texture is leaving, there's no slip-resistant texture anymore in a wet environment. So it can, you know, we want to make sure that that facility is staying safe and usable for all the groups. So I guess our goal is just whatever funds are available. We have the 52 that's kind of been budgeted here, but if there's, 65 is kind of what we need for the project. If there's anything available, we wanted to put it into that project this year is what was our goal.
I think my question would be, I appreciate that, thank you. And I agree, I think it's something that, from a safety standpoint, definitely should be done. My question, I guess, to you, Lee, is if I'm reading again our policies and procedures, does that fall within kind of our agreement on to really get new business or appropriate development business opportunities and increasing revenues? So I'm just wondering which ones of these, and that one, I understand the importance of it, but does it fall within the parameters of our mantra, if you will?
Well, I think it's a legitimate request for funding from redevelopment. I think it's up to you to determine if it meets the goals of what you're trying to use the funds for. But much like the theater that brings in people, it's an infrastructure project that helps the tournaments, the swim meets and things, and people using it within the redevelopment district. Whether it's if it rises to the level that you think is kind of up to you.
I'll preface this. I have questions about it by saying, Mike and other newer members, what you're seeing here is the evolution of what we talked about earlier. What the committee has tried to do is move from event funding to infrastructure funding. And, of course, the problem here, and I'll get to the questions, is how much business is created by doing infrastructure funding. The events, the $25,000 that Ronnie mentioned for events on street closures, there are events. So my question is, how many swim meets, how many people? Do we have any metrics of what this creates to bring people into town or keep them downtown to utilize our other private businesses, since the private businesses are the ones who fund our money for this? Yeah. So how many do we have, and what are their natures, and how many people come, et cetera?
So I can prepare with the metric specific for the swim meets, but we do have, over the course of the year, you know, there's over a dozen swim meets. Some of them are very large, and some of them depend on the year, too. Some of them are rotating. So, like, we have the state swim meet that rotates between the north and the south. But when we do have that at our facility, you know, it brings in hundreds of swimmers plus their families. So, you know, you have a couple thousand people who are utilizing that facility for that weekend. So some of the events are fairly big. As far as data, how that translates to downtown and whether they're shopping, and like, we don't collect that data for Parks and Recreation, but we do have the numbers as far as how many people come to the facility. And then what happens after that, I can't really speak for.
Thank you.
So, Lee, at this time, are you looking for us to potentially designate more funds down through all of these different projects, or where are we going from here? Are we prioritizing like we did last year with the one through, you know, top to bottom?
So I'm prepared with the sheet. If you'd like to pick your top 6, 8, or 10 or something like that to prioritize them, I can go to another sheet and do that if you get nods. Or, I mean, if you feel this is, if there's consensus now and we're done with this recommendation, or you feel you can put more, you know, you have an idea of what you want to do in terms of funding projects, you could do it. But I think did I see nods to?
Yeah, I think ranking? So. I think at this time, if anybody has, and I do have one, I'd want to go back and revisit. If anybody has any specific discussion points with regards to prior projects on here, I think we talk about it before we go and do our prioritization. And I'm going back to one, and I'm kind of a stuck needle on this blue line. Is it my understanding that the $26,000 is going to remove the blue line, and the majority of that money is to remove the blue line? Then nothing is to be done yet, and we don't have a plan moving forward.
We don't have a plan today for its replacement, other than there are online maps there on the website. There's information on the properties, but the plan would be to seek funding to seek future funding to provide markers, nameplates,
sure,
or something.
We've talked about it, medallions and various things like that. So my question would be, well, if the majority of the money is to remove the blue line and then a small amount is to repaint the blue line, why don't we do what everybody else does and just why do we have to remove it first? Why don't we just repaint over it for a smaller amount? That way it still at least keeps the blue line something that looks decent and good for the city, and it leaves something in place instead of just getting rid of it. Now we have nothing until at some point in the future we come up with an idea, and then that takes a year to figure out what we're looking at and things of that nature. So I guess that's my question. Because I know that is something that drives tourism. People like to see the historic portions of Carson City, and you have a physical blue line, it's going to be a lot easier than other stuff.
Well, I will tell you, after having talked with Mr. Peterson, and I'm sorry he's gone, but if you look at what the rebranding is, they don't even mention the blue line at all. From what I understand, they're not sure what they want to do with it, and you can weigh in here on this. But I will tell you, the blue line looks terrible. I don't think you can paint over that at all. It has to come up. I've talked about this before. The leadership class in 2008 or whatever went out there and scraped it, and the city came in with its fancy little thing and redid it. So nothing has been done since 2008 or whatever, so it looks pretty bad.
I agree. It looks horrible. But I can tell you, as someone who's constantly painting curbs and parking stripes, you can clean it and repaint. I don't think it has to come up. You can clean it enough, repaint it, and at least have something that looks 10,000% better than what we have out there right now, and something's still in place. So,
Darren Schultz, for the record. So what what happened is, for years and years, we just put a stripe of blue paint down on the sidewalk, and you have to do that about every 2 years to keep up on it. And then it was determined that that was not maybe necessarily sustainable, and we needed to look at a different direction. So the next step that we did was put down a tape, a paint tape that goes down, and it's kind of sandpapery. It's rough, it's tough, and it's supposed to last forever. Well, the problem is that that's not lasting, and that tape is coming up and falling apart. So the thought was we have to get rid of that, and then we can do whatever anybody wants to do. But until that tape is up, we can't just, you can't, if you just paint over the top of the tape, that paint comes off in months, not years. It just flakes off.
I get it. That makes perfect sense, because the entire time all we talked about is removing the paint and repainting, not removing the tape and repainting. So that's a logical explanation as to why.
And from the budget side, the city is trying to get out of the continual budget cost of repainting it, of removing it and repainting it.
Well, if you put I think we
would contract it if we were going to continue a continuous funding source in this, for example, going out to cover that cost. But I think the city wants to turn it over to the convention and the culture and tourism authority,
which is where it should be. Yeah. So they're not even sure whether they're going to keep it, Kit Carson Trail, whatever. I mean, it's been around since 1965, so.
And eventually, if you want to save it now, we're going to need money when to remove it then. So
but it's not ours. It should go.
Question. Haven't heard the word app in this discussion at all. What happened to the app?
My idea.
Oh, I'm sorry.
There is no app.
Yeah, the app, and the explanation on that was they were paying a monthly fee or an annual fee for that app that was very high and not really cost effective for what they were getting for it. When everybody has a mobile phone now and you get on the website, you can look at that map on the website and do it that way. I don't know what the future solution will be.
I don't know if it is either. I just was curious because it hadn't been brought up. Also, not a shot, Darren. My continual worries about maintenance generally is if any vendor ever tells you something's indestructible and will last forever, tell them to go jump.
Okay, if we don't have any other questions or discussion points, maybe we can go through our...
No, I wasn't.
Oh,
okay. Are we moving on now?
Well, we were going to, but you go ahead.
Well, maybe we're moving on to where I want to go. I think you're right. I'm not really content with what we know about the aquatic facility and how much it helps local businesses. But by the same token, it's the only one outside of the Fuji Park sound system that I care about here. And there is a line that's empty that goes to my concern about litter and downtown maintenance, whatever you want to call it. I am going to be pushing my colleagues on the board, if possible, to do something in a $150 million budget. We ought to have a few more $1,000 to clean up our downtown. And we could get it here. And every property owner who puts money into this rack gets something out of that. So it beats everything except what we've been talking about, in my view.
Considering Lee has highlighted that sell right now, John, do you have a number that you would consider throwing out to start in there? I know this is something that's important. I think it's important to everybody to make sure that.
So just to help you with that, it's about $70,000 to $80,000 a year now that's spent on what's getting done now.
Yes, and I would urge whoever is doing this contract through the NID, I don't know if the NID controls this or we control this or how it works, but they just are not doing the job. If it takes more money, it takes more money. How much is the city putting in? How much is the NID putting in?
The city puts in about $26,000. And the NID started at $50,000, gone up at CIP, so it's about somewhere between $55,000-$60,000 now.
Well, with the $25,000 that's in here for the corralling the stuff, maybe matching what the city puts in out of other tax dollars from here with tax dollars, 26, and that would still leave whatever that's from 90-some That's just a thought. I don't know. I don't think it's adequate, but nevertheless, we got to do something. This is crazy.
Has anybody talked to the NID at all about their contractor or why things aren't getting done for $100,000 a year or?
Darren Schultz for the record again. We've had a couple of meetings with the NID and a couple of the senior board members over the last 2 years and went down some expectations. We went to the contract, the scope that they bid on. And so at this point, all we can do is make sure that that scope, what they bid on, is enforced and they're doing that correctly. And I would say within, 19 out of 20 times, they're performing as they were, the contract states they should. We did have that discussion about level of service, and that we all know the higher level of service, the more it's going to cost you. The more times you want the sidewalk washed, the more times it's going to cost you. And did we not put enough in there? It was part of it was a little bit of a wait and see. Let's start here with the idea that we can ramp that up later and tell them that we want more service. But for the most part, the contractor is following the scope and the contract that they have.
How long is the contract?
I think it's a yearly contract. Yeah. But that doesn't, just because it has a contract, if we needed to open it and add scope, we could do that without waiting a year. I'm not sure when the term is up, but it's, yeah, a year's not very long.
I'd just as soon wait and then open it up and find somebody who'll do it right.
Just curious, and I'm not sure the NID is a discussion that we should be having, but what does the average person or business pay that say it's on Carson Street?
It's based on the square footage of the building. It ranges from less than $100 to larger properties like the Nugget, obviously paying a couple thousand in the thousands of dollars.
Well, as what you said, did I understand what you said? This is all placeholders anyway till May or June?
Yeah, so these would be, well, placeholders to put some money in the budget. And so speaking of downtown cleaning in particular, I think if there's an expectation from RAC and the Redevelopment Authority about how that money's going to be utilized in the contract, we'd have to approach the NID board and the contract and understand, does this apply to more frequent washing of the properties that they're responsible for only, or is it to expand what they do to more properties? So we would still need to develop a program and decide those types of things.
When's the contract up?
Yeah, offhand, I don't know. But I think they contract for the summer, so it's not right on the fiscal year.
Oh, is that why they didn't remove the snow? I'm sorry.
So, like with snow removal, I mean, if your expectation is that at the first inch of snow, the whole sidewalk gets cleared, that's not what their contract says.
I'm sure it isn't.
I'm sure it isn't
because I talked to two business people who told me that they weren't there by 10 o'clock in the morning. So on the morning when we had snow.
So by contract, they're not supposed to plow the sidewalks until it's 4 inches. Maybe it's 3 inches. For argument's sake, it's 3 or 4 inches, but it's not the first inch of snow that the contractor comes out and do it. The businesses are still responsible for clearing the sidewalk in front of them, and we have a 20-foot sidewalk. It's not necessarily the whole sidewalk. They just have to provide a path so people can walk down there. So again, it's deciding if we want to put the money into, just for example, snow plowing at the first dusting of snow versus expand, same level of service, bigger area. Those are the types of discussions we need to have.
I was just thinking of a few things with regard to that contract, and I respect that you don't know the exact terms of how much snowfall we get that triggers their response to it, but we might need to look at that because normally we're not getting 4 inches of snow at one time. So, you know, in theory, are we paying for something that's really never going to be triggered as a service that's performed under the contract? So I just want to throw that out there.
Right, right. Yeah. Well, I'm remembering some of it, but they don't pay for snow removal unless they remove snow. That's part of it too. So they don't pay for snow removal in the that's kind of on an as needed basis. They get paid when they do it and only when they do it.
I see. And then the other issue that I wanted to throw out was, for example, there's Telegraph Alley right behind my business, and I know that in my lease contract, I don't have responsibility for that alley, and that alley remained a complete ice rink for the longevity of that storm that was probably a month long, really. And the issues that I had personally was, myself and my staff are taking out our garbage cans to an alcove space that was designated to keep those garbage cans out of public view and out of that alley. But yet my folks had to cross what was basically an ice rink along with every other pedestrian who encountered that alley. So the big question is who is responsible for that alley if the business owners are not responsible for that public space. I'm just throwing that out there as one important example that affected my block.
I don't want to pile on here, but we have an ordinance that says people need to remove the snow from the sidewalks in their residence, and every park I went to with my dog this snowstorm, the city did not remove the sidewalks. If we're going to ask other people to do something, we ought to do it ourselves or stop requiring them to do it. A point for this, but I couldn't resist.
So we're going to do our scoring system now.
Okay, so I have a little spreadsheet here with your names, at the top going down, and this is the list of those projects that are on the second page, plus note I have added what's not on there, downtown cleaning and snow removal. Just copy and pasting. Okay. So, I have it set up. I don't know how far down you want to go ranking. I don't suggest you 1 through 20, top 10.
Yeah, we're not going to be able to fund more than.
Yeah, I would say 10 or less. So if you want to go 10, I'm prepared to go to 10. So if you want to look at your sheets, and when anybody's ready, you can tell me.
Just so that I understand. All of them, including the ones that you already got funds in there as placeholders?
So, no, this is just the second page.
Just the new one.
Just ranking the new ones.
But does that include on the second page the ones you have, Third Street parking?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So they
including the ones that have funding.
They need to be ranked, too.
Okay. Yes. And so just how it's going to go, we'll rank them 1 through 10 then. I have it so that your higher rank has higher points, and it'll average the points, and then we'll sort them and take a look at it.
Okay, Lee, since I'm the first one listed, I'm ready to go.
Okay.
Number one, aquatic facility pool deck resurfacing. Number two, the aquatic facility fitness center.
Hang on. You got to go.
But
yeah, one's fine.
But you are considering the things at the top of the page as well, right? Even the things that are allocated with the money, the $190,000, the $80,000, the $85,000, the $100,000, he wants those ranked too.
I am.
Okay.
Well, I did my homework 1 through 10. Remember, he sent this email out prior to? Okay. Do I need to start over? Okay. Number 2 was the Aquatic Facility Fitness Center. Number 3 was the Fuji Park Grandstands. Number 4 was the Fuji Park Dog Area. Number 5, the Third Street parking lot rehabilitation. Number six, the underground downtown power lines. And number seven for me was the downtown sidewalk improvements. Number eight, the Curry Street gas lamp replacement. Do I need to slow down?
Seven
was the part of the was a downtown sidewalk improvements, which was part of the give me a moment. The Public Works Department recommended projects. Do you have it listed?
I don't have that on this.
We'll skip that one and we'll just go in continue in order. So my seven will be Curry Street gas lamp replacement. My eight will be downtown shared trash enclosure. And the last one will be Mills Park Skate Park. That's it.
Ready for me? Did you get 10?
Did you get 10?
Do you have another one?
Yes, I can give another one. Let's go with the South Carson Street long-term traffic circulation. You should have 10 now.
Okay. For number one, I have a 3rd Street parking lot rehabilitation. Number two is aquatic facility pool deck resurfacing. Number three is the fitness center. Number four is the underground downtown power lines. Number five, Curry Street gas lamp. Number six is the downtown shared trash enclosure. Seven is the South Carson Street long-term traffic circulation. Eight is going to be the added, the downtown cleaning snow removal. Nine is the Mills Park picnic tables. And 10 is the skate park.
Who's next?
Whoever.
Yes.
You are.
Okay. One, Curry Street gas lamp replacement. Two, 3rd Street parking lot rehabilitation. Three, downtown cleanup. Four, Ross Gould park signs. Five, downtown shared trash enclosure. Six, underground downtown power lines. Seven, Fuji Park grandstands. Oh, I got two ones there. Okay, never mind. Eight, aquatic facility pool deck resurfacing. Nine, Fuji Park signs. And 10, I didn't get a 10. Okay. Oh, yes, Roscoe Pavilion. Sorry about that. And I'm going to the other room.
Okay, I can go next. Number one is 3rd Street parking lot rehab. Number two is the underground downtown power lines, which sort of goes with the parking lot rehab. Number three is the aquatic facility pool decking. Four is Mills Park signs. It's a huge park. It needs signage. Number five, I saw the other day that poor Marv Texera Pavilion sign is all bent and everything else, so that looks terrible on our Highway 50. Number six, Fuji Park signs. Seven is the grandstands. Let's see. Where'd my eight go? Here, the shared trash enclosures. And nine is the downtown, and 10 is the gas lamp replacements. Nine is downtown snow removal, or whatever, trash snow. Pardon me? Oh, 10 is the gas lamp replacement.
Okay, I'm ready when you are. One gas lamp, two underground power lines. Three pool deck resurfacing. Four Carson Street traffic circulation. Five Third Street parking. Six downtown snow. Seven Fuji Park grandstands. Eight Mills Park picnic tables. Nine Roskold Park pavilion. And 10 is Fuji Park signs.
Thank you. My number one is the Third Street parking lot rehab. Number two is the aquatic facility pool deck. Number three, the downtown shared trash enclosure. Number four, the aquatic facility fitness center. Number five, the downtown sidewalk cleaning / snow removal. Number six, the Roskold Park Pavilion. Number seven, Curry Street gas lamp replacement. Number eight, the underground downtown power lines. Number nine, the Fuji Park grandstands. And number 10, the South Carson long-term traffic circulation study. Thank you.
And I have a question. Is that downtown cleanup the 26 we talked about, or what?
I don't think.
Yeah, that's what it's in there is right now.
I can't see it.
Which leaves us 67,008 undesignated.
Well, it's not undesignated if we go down far enough.
There's in the column is the average, far column on the left's the average ranking, so then it's just sorted them based on your ranking there. And seems like the things that had some numbers in them came to the top. The one thing that doesn't have anything in it is the fitness center. Note that the pool is up here and funded at less than the necessary amount. So from there, I could get some direction to fill in the recommendations here.
So I think if the new, obviously the second most important was the pool decking, and if the new estimate is 65,000, I think we need to revise that to 65,000.
Or it could be matching. They could put in 10.
Actually, was that the one that you said that they could make up the difference?
Well, right? I think if they get close, they're going to find the funds to finish one of the projects on any of this.
So that I retract what I just said. If they can find funds and we don't have to do it, then I retract what I just said. I'd put it back at the 52. Yeah, but that's 13 we're not able to find somewhere else or put somewhere else.
The fitness center, I just penciled in 50, but you'll have to decide how much to apply to the fitness center.
It doesn't.
My question on that is just back to a point of discussion. I get the pool decking for a couple reasons. One, and first and foremost, safety. Two, I actually see hotel rooms that are booked from the swim meets that come in. I don't see a lot of gaming revenue from it, but I think we sell rooms and we have room nights from that. And again, it'd be nice to know moving forward maybe how many things we see from that, but how much business comes in from the fitness center? Or is that just our locals using the fitness center versus people coming in from out of town, stimulating business, which is what our whole mantra is about right here. So I would almost ask if anyone would like to reconsider the fitness line, considering some of the things that we're trying to fund right below it, in lieu of the fact that I don't think it brings in business to the area.
Well, I do know that the Hampton Inn did give their fitness, whatever those things are, equipment, yeah, thank you, to the pool, I don't know how long ago it was, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, so, and we have a lot of fitness facilities in Carson City that are actually bona fide businesses that pay taxes, so I'm, I don't know on that one.
I'd like to do what you asked, Court, but it wasn't on my 10.
I wanted to say that I kind of want to stick with what Ronnie said earlier about let's do one project and complete the project rather than doing it halfway and then having somebody come back later. And since we can't fully fund Fuji, Mills Park, Ross Gold, any of that stuff, at least we could get the aquatic facility up and running and ready to go so that when people came to visit, it didn't look like half of it was finished and half of it was not.
I don't think that's a bad point, except that I think Court's right. I don't, you know, I use the aquatic facility and the fitness center, and nobody but locals uses it. I mean, there might be an occasional swimmer who's from out of town, but it doesn't fit, you know, the parameters of why we're here using business tax dollars.
Well, and I understand your position on that, but if we're going to look at that logic, then I'm going to go all the way back to us funding $100,000 at Fuji Park, which brings in business. We're also looking at doing more stuff in Fuji Park, which is right underneath it. So now we can't even finish the one that we've designated a higher priority, but we're finishing one that's a lower priority. That doesn't generate business.
One take it.
So that being said, anyone want to consider changing?
Let me say the reason that I selected the number two as a top priority of the aquatic facility fitness center because I go there, and you know, and I see a lot of seniors there too. And we all at some point are going to reach that senior status, and I hate to see that we not have a place where the seniors can go to do exercises, because everything from back to hip replacements to knee, that aquatic facility is a good thing for them to do. Now, I'm certainly not going to say that I'm going to come between funding the aquatic fitness center for $75,000 if there's other items that takes precedence and more priority over those. Then certainly I would send my two, and maybe we can put some dollars somewhere else. But again, I hate to see that, you know, that we don't give anything toward the aquatic fitness center, because it is important, in my opinion. That's my comment.
Right, when you're talking fitness center, are you talking the equipment? You're not talking the other pool, right?
No, I'm talking the aquatic facility fitness center.
No, well, I understand, but there's two.
Yeah, and then there's the aquatic facility pool deck resurfaces. That's two different ones there, right?
Right, but there's also a pool. He will talk about it.
For the record, Dan Arp, Recreation Superintendent. When we're talking about the fitness center at the pool, we're talking specifically that fitness center with updating some of the equipment, and then primarily, I don't even know how old the green carpet is in there, but just kind of doing a makeover in that fitness center to make it there's not really much in the way of like electrical equipment. It's a lot of barbells and dumbbells and those kinds of things. And there's some equipment that we were able to get from you said the Hampton Inn, But it would just be kind of a makeover with kind of the floors, the walls, and the equipment in that facility.
Thank you. Hey, Lee, will you perform an exercise for me real quick? Since we have Fuji Park grandstands above South Carson long-term traffic circulation, if we took that 80,000 and took the remaining 67,000, that gives us 140 towards the 200, right? The Fuji Park grandstands, which would come closer to completing one of the earlier priority, as you said. We're spending here's what I'm having a hard time with. We're spending $100,000 we've already decided to get the sound system fixed at Fuji Park, but the rest of it needs a lot of work as well. So we're earmarking a lot of money to go towards that and then just kind of letting it go from there. So to go back to what Ronnie and what you said is, we've already committed that $100,000 and now we're putting all this other stuff in different places and we're not really completing the projects, like we said, to get one done and then move on from there. The reason I kind of went with the pool decking is because there's a safety issue involved, and I'm always going to be about safety as well.
But being mindful of the ability to complete projects, you know, of not allocating funds this year that aren't going to get spent this year, can we do a $200,000 project at Fuji Park in the next fiscal year? Design and construction of new grandstands? I mean, I think...
Hey, Lee, I can build a ballroom in 9 months. So I think we can put in new grandstands in a year.
I noticed that you have the 200,000. You have the 200,000 allocated to the year after. And is that the reason? 100,000 this year for the sound system, 200,000 the next year. That way the city can appropriately use the funds.
Well, in part, you know, if you take away some other things, then the $200,000 does become realistic to do this year. But in terms of part of it is, can we get
logistically, can it be done within the
design and construct, design and bid and construction in the year, or do we end up in past July of 2020 anyway?
Which is where it is right now. Yeah. That's a good point.
All right, since I opened the Pandora's box here, about getting everything done at once. I don't see the fitness center as viable under the mantra that we have, because the pool does bring in tournaments and, again,
hotel rooms
and also the safety issue. I think that is number one of anything. The fitness thing, I think you probably can go out and maybe, you know, get some monies elsewhere, but I don't see this really as a RAC project. I see the pool as a RAC project under the, to use your word, the mantra.
And if you follow that logic, I mean, some of the things that we didn't look at all are tennis courts. I mean, it's not like we're having giant tennis competitions, and that's something for our local residents, which isn't necessarily driving revenue, which is what part of our mantra is.
I just wanted to add, if we're focusing on safety, my understanding from the most recent supervisors meeting was that the pavilion at Roscoe Park is a safety issue. And I don't know, maybe Supervisor Barrett wants to weigh in on this one, but my understanding from the presentation given at that meeting was that it's a major safety issue.
It is. You put me on the spot, Angela, because I was going to say this, so I'll just say it now. One of the things that bothers me about this is I assess these all, and I say to myself, many of these things are stuff that should go in our capital budget, actual budget. Now, the money's not going to be there because it doesn't go very far. So government has taken a look at the situation, and as I was instructing some of my colleagues earlier, we've decided to quit the event funding game to a large extent, with a couple of notable exceptions. But this is, the government lines up and says, oh, here's some money, we can go get it for this or that or the other thing. I think court's point regarding the need for it to have a nexus between generating business of some sort that brings people into town and into the redevelopment district in this point is very important to me. Safety on the aquatic facility isn't my concern regarding, although I'm glad we'll get that from doing it, but my vote for that is that it needs to be done because we do have events there that bring people in from out of town. I'm glad there's a win-win there, but, and you're right about the Ross Gold Pavilion, but the Ross Gold Pavilion is not going to bring people from Lake Tahoe down here to visit it. And that's, so your point's well taken, but it's not impressive to me in the sense that I'm trying to keep to our mission, which is business development.
And the businesses are the ones that are, paying for it.
Mr. Chairman.
And let me add one thing. I mean, I'm not, castigating people in government. They need to find money wherever they can find it. But some of these ought not to be on this list, put it that way.
So I have another thought on maybe how to proceed from here. I think one observation is this was a lot easier when we didn't have very much money available for this. Not sure you're going to come to a consensus just kind of shuffling money around, but perhaps I think you've gone through and ranked them, and maybe what you could do is go one at a time and make a motion on the amount of funding for that activity, get a majority for each funding going down. Because I don't think you're all going to agree on the amount of funding for every project going down, but maybe that's a way to go down. And on each one, we can take the comments, and then I can take the comments. If there's opposing comments to them, I could take the reason for funding or not to the Board of Supervisors on each one.
A quick question. Are you just going to go through 1 through 10?
Then I would go down till you decide to roll forward funds and leave some in undesignated or otherwise run out of money.
One question. Lee, moving back to page 1 on this, we have three items at the bottom that have no funding whatsoever that were on the first page. Moving forward, the Gateway Arches, the Downtown Housing Assistance, which I'm not sure that should be on there either, and the Building Clearance Assistance. So was there any intention to – what's the story on those three?
So I think if you wanted to pull those forward, we should have discussed that. And I didn't really talk about the detail. But with the arches, I think right now, certainly in the short term, that's pushed off. The focus with the South Carson Street project is to do a different type of gateway feature that's not – the big project arches, so.
I think you could take that off completely. That was $1 million.
Those can come off. Downtown housing assistance. I mean, I think that's something we need to keep thinking about, but I don't think there's a program in place. I mean, you've made clear recommendations on that before. And building clearance assistance is another one where if there's a project, I think that building clearance is really one where, if you fund it, money is going to sit there for a long time, and then at some point, some project is going to come up. That's probably just an activity that's as needed if it comes in for assistance.
What is it?
That's like for demolition. They're actually literally paying for the cost of demolition.
First phase of urban renewal.
Yeah.
And I'll cop a plea to the fact that I had kind of made an overture towards downtown housing on the facade, but I don't think it's practical. We probably could never do that, so that should go.
So we could get rid of all three of those, and then if something came up on a case-by-case basis, we could look at it. So I would suggest maybe we leave, just to throw it out there so we can get it done, about $25,000 in undesignated and for various things that may come before us, and then go ahead and finish funding as much as we can in all of the prior spots. And that takes into consideration you move the special event down to 10,000, correct?
Yes. Let me go up to the top, make sure. The special event funding for this year is down to 10,000, and it accounts for that.
That's 19, not 20?
In 20.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it seems like the first one there, I didn't hear discussion.
Well, we all voted, yeah.
consensus on the parking lot rehabilitation, so maybe the next thing would be to take a motion on the discussion's been on the amount of funding for aquatic facility. Anybody?
Well, do you want a motion on each line item then?
Yeah, I mean, however you want to do it.
I think if we just have a discussion about what we're going to put where and then we have one motion to approve the whole thing, that's good and easy and clean. So I would advocate just leaving the 52,000 in the aquatic and they can come up with the rest as discussed earlier. I think the underground power lines is self-explanatory, 100,000.
Can we vote on each one of those?
No, we're going to look at everything and then vote. I don't have any changes in the next two. My biggest thing comes up to the aquatic fitness center, which I like what's in there right now because I don't think it meets both criteria. But that's up for discussion. I think we talked about it.
I'm okay with moving
it. Okay. And then, so now we've got 26,000 for John's snow removal. Well, and we think we can't do Fuji until really realistically till the next year, so leave the 200,000 there. Now we're back to the Carson traffic improvement. Now we're getting into funny areas because as John discussed, does that really bring in the Ross Gold Park Pavilion? It's a safety issue as you brought up, but not necessarily driving business, so I think we move down, in my opinion, we'd move down and fund the Fuji Park signs for $10,000.
I think the park signs altogether would be a great
improvement. Yeah. So if we did, Mills Park sign, and we may have enough to do this. The Mills.
Could I ask
Marv Texer? That one's going to be expensive.
Well, could I ask a question on the signs? Are those directional signs that you want to put in the parks? Or what, you know,
what
when you're talking
sign?
About what type of siding is it?
Unfortunately, I don't have the information as far as what those are put in. Jenny gave me the information to be kind of prepared to talk about the sign specifically, so apologize.
I have a quick question on the Fuji Park dog area. Is that, define the dog area, is that just the dog park in the corner of Fuji up there, or is that?
And that was funded by private.
Is that the area we're talking about?
Yes. I believe so.
Wow. And again, I don't see that driving. The reason I ask is because there's a lot of dog shows that happen because I have people coming, but not in that little just dog park and buy $50,000. I don't know what you're putting in there.
So back to the question on the park signs, that there's a better description provided by the Parks and Rec in the text of the memo. They call it your kiosk signs. So they're part of the master sign plan, helps in cleaning up the sign pollution in the park facilities by providing an identifiable location for information pertaining to the facility.
Sort of like a shopping center sign. You go and you've got the one thing there, yeah.
So what we did, just this last year, we approved a new signage master plan, approved throughout the whole park system. So it's probably in line with those to now get all of our parks in line with new signage that's been approved. And the kiosk signs are usually like a trifold, really nice quality signs that have information about the park and has interpretive information and just everything that the users would use.
Question, or Lee, one thing too, on the Mills Park sign, you've got in at 10,000 where 12,000 is in the budget, or is the estimate the bottom one? Yeah, and well, I was going to ask about that too, the Ross Gold Park sign. Okay, Fuji Park, we drive in business to the city and the community. Mills Park, we drive in business to the city and the community. Ross Gold Park, I don't believe fits that. So I would advocate getting rid of the Ross Gold Park portion of the sign, and then we have enough money to fund the Marv Texera Pavilion sign, which is at Mills Park. Well, I think we're going to have 15. Yeah, 15. Which is, I think, acceptable considering it's, that would be how I would recommend we do it. Does anybody have any discussion or adjustments or changes to that?
Well, in terms of the Ross Gold thing, I voted for the Ross Gold Park sign, and the Ross Gold Park Pavilion actually was number 10 with me. We're redoing Ross Gold, and I thought, you know, it has a, but I would take them off if that's the case, because we've discussed why we're doing these things, and you're right, it's not going to drive that much business.
So I would agree.
It's not a redevelopment area, isn't it?
Or
is
no, it's
in. Yeah, yes, it is. Yeah.
I'd agree with that, and I'd also, with that logic, I'd take the Fuji Dog Park area off. I'd take Mills Park tennis courts off.
You don't want to get dog owners even talking about Fuji Park and the dog area down there. What has happened down there is...
Well, that's their problem.
Well...
Never mind. All right, anyway, so if we took off all the Ross Gold, because it doesn't really fit our criteria, we took off the dog park... We take off the tennis courts in both. It cleans up our whole.
So what I'll do is, for the Redevelopment Authority Board of Supervisors, I'll clean it up. And because they were included for discussion, I'll include them. But to convey that discussion about why we're not using redevelopment funds for recommending using redevelopment funds for Ross Gold Park.
Okay. So. Any more discussion on what we've done here?
I like your idea of keeping some money in the for some, the $15,000 available, but just wanted to throw out there if Supervisor Barrett thought that the trash enclosure budget was not adequate, does it make sense to throw some more funds at it right now?
I think we need to have more of a explanation on what that is and have a plan before we even know. That was a placeholder. It could be $40,000. It could be, we have no idea.
Yeah, I think for both, just talking about downtown, for both the trash closure and the cleaning, it's probably good to have a little bit extra in there depending on what kind of programs we come up for either one.
Well, and I'm hesitant to get aggressive on this because I'm not sure all of my fellow board members at that level are going to. I know the NID was put together for a reason, and the NID was put together to keep it out of government, but it's not doing the job. And it just doesn't make any sense to me to say, oh, we're going to do this $1 million or $1 million gold standard downtown that turns out to be laden with trash. So I'm just hoping the board will see it this way, but it's got to come from somewhere, and I don't know if they want to put public tax dollars into it, whether they're from property owners downtown or from other people downtown. So your point's well taken, Angela, but I just don't know how much appetite there will be in the long haul for getting overly aggressive. I'd love to see twice what we're spending on downtown. I'd also like to cite some business owners.
Okay, so at this point, public comment? No public comment. So would someone like to make a motion as to what we're about to do?
I'd like to make a motion to go ahead and accept the budget augmentation as shown above.
So we have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Yes. Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carries.
So you got your pool.
Yeah, so... Agenda item number 5, staff reports and updates. Anything else, Lee?
I did include in your packet just a short memo and the adopted facade improvement program. Just because as that went to the Redevelopment Authority, it was, or maybe it was the Board of Supervisors, but in any case, it was modified a little bit from your recommendations in that they chose to keep all non-residential properties within the district eligible. However, if you look at the last paragraph, that discretionary review, it does expressly give you more discretionary review to look at the goals of the plan and make a decision on that. So that's in there if you have any questions on that. There are a couple other quick things. The next regular meeting is on May 6th, and as I mentioned earlier, any special event applications we get will be reviewed at that time. Possibly at that meeting or before then, we'll have a facade improvement application. I've been talking to one property owner. And also for the record and for anybody watching, and for all of you, we do have a vacancy on the Citizens Committee still for a Area 1, this is the downtown business owner or property owner category. So if you're representing a business downtown or own property, that goes to the residential area, to the west side, to the downtown commercial area. Please contact me or City Hall and apply if you're interested. Thanks. That's all I have.
So it was property owner or business owner in Area 1. Okay. Mm-hmm. Any RAC member reports or comments?
No, but I would like to open up another Pandora's box, if I may. Sorry, but one of the biggest complaints that we get at the chamber is not so much about the downtown. The downtown looks great, and we're picking it apart a lot, you know, because we're there and we see it every day. But it's from William Street North, and something for consideration of the future, and this is more, I think, redevelopment authority, is maybe because so many millions of dollars have been spent in the downtown core, it's time to maybe take something out of Area 1 or Area 2 and maybe look at instead doing William Street to Winnie Lane, because that is terrible. And, I mean, that's an entryway into our city. We're spending a lot of time on Area 2, which is the south area, Area 1, but the rest of the city is going to hell in a handbasket. So anyway, I just throw that out as something that we may want to look at it in the future.
Are you speaking in terms of the money that's for the street downtown south, then William, and then north?
No, I'm just talking about the redevelopment monies come in now from Area 1 and Area 2.
You have to expand the district to do that.
Well, the problem is if you expand the district, as I understand it, then you can't really put the whole city of Carson City in redevelopment. But for example, Area 2 was put in primarily for why we're having more monies now is to attract the car dealers. And that is the engine, actually, to taking it out would not be great for funds, but that is a pretty good area as it relates to, I'm not sure what else we can do in that particular corridor. And then, of course, we've got the little area where Costco, and that was put in because of Costco as well. And then Fuji Park comes into that area. But the north part from William Street to Winnie, the two W's, really needs to be looked at.
Well, help me understand. What you're saying is helping out an area that's not in a redevelopment district with redevelopment district monies?
No, it is taking Area 1 or 2 out of the redevelopment. And so for example, taking Area 2 so that from 5th Street or wherever Area 2 starts, Fairview South is no longer a redevelopment area. And so that becomes then William Street to the north, to Winnie. So you're just switching out one for the other. Because to have a whole city in redevelopment, I don't think you can do that.
Can I ask a question, Lee? I think that I had brought this up in a couple of meetings ago. I thought we had plans to slowly move redevelopment throughout the city and that this was already something we had discussed.
Not moving redevelopment districts, but in terms of the corridor improvements, South Carson Street's the project that's going for the next couple of years, and once that's complete, tentatively on the plan now, next to do is William Street and then North Carson Street, but they haven't started design yet. So, and that's with the funding is the 1/8 cent sales tax for that, for those projects is in place, but it's years down the line by the time two projects, but maybe if it becomes more important in the next couple of years, it could be moved up.
You know, it's just a lot of citizens, and we see them, and other people just say, wow, you've got a great city, but once you pass William Street, it's awful. So, I mean, and redevelopment is supposed to be to make an area a blighted area. I don't consider downtown blighted anymore, and I do not consider South Carson Street blighted, but definitely Winnie to William Street is rather blighted.
Okay, good point. Any other comments?
Mr. Chairman, not a comment. I guess this question is directed to Lee, and I've heard it mentioned several times this evening that certain items shouldn't be in the redevelopment budget and why it's there, and it poses me to ask the same question. As I look on page one, it's a two-part question. As I look at the utility extension assistance, one, I guess, you know, being finishing up 1 year on this board, why was that given to the redevelopment authority? How much of those funds are actually being used to assist those persons who can't pay the utilities bills? And where do we come up with this amount? Do we have a tracking as to how much was spent in 19, how much was spent in 18? Because as I look across the continuum here, I'm noticing that it's $20K allocated for 5 years. So can you shed a little light on that for me, Lee?
Yeah, utility extension assistance is for when a new business comes in and or a new building's being built and utilities aren't there. It would be to assist in bringing those utilities, whether it be water or power or whatever, the rest of the way to the property. That was the intent of that. To date, zero has been spent from that. In fact, last year, kind of at the mid-year review, there were no projects in sight, so that $20,000 was rolled into undesignated or other projects, which is what has continued to happen. So it's been continued to roll forward because no projects have come in.
So is it possible what you just stated that maybe we can look at putting those dollars earmarked for other projects or in other areas, hence trying to get some of the items that we just talked about tonight?
Yes.
Approved budget.
Yes.
Thank you.
Any more? Any public comment from our journalist? Okay, with that, a motion to adjourn.
Second. Second.
All right, all in favor? Aye. Meeting adjourned.